Let's begin. I want to talk today about bad timing. Because sometimes something that could be innocuous at one time could be either wonderful or conversely devastating at another time. And, you know, if it comes at the wrong time, it's incredibly destructive. And I think I'll start that way and I'll end that way, just to give a good example. Right? You might have remembered the United States Vice President Joe Biden was visiting Israel a number of weeks ago. Right? And it just so happened that... not to enter into, you know, the nuances of Israeli internal politics, but right, the weekend that he's here, right, they released some innocuous, really rather commonplace announcement about tenders to construct a neighborhood in Yerushalayim. Okay, right,
that's what they called.
Yes, right, and from there developed the whole brouhaha. Right, what would have happened if that announcement had been made 2 weeks later, or 2 weeks earlier, or 2 days earlier, or 2 days later? It was the juxtaposition of the time and the event that really that brought the whole thing to a T and made it into the international brouhaha that it became, right? So, which is, you know, sometimes you get into a spat with someone, right? And you argue about something, and then 2 days later you wonder, what was I arguing about? But it was just at that point, at that time, you were in that place, in that emotional place, or that whatever place, and you say to yourself that it was just bad for everybody, and it just kind of blew up. And I think that timing is something that we often don't think about, and we don't realize how important it is and how powerful it can be. Thank you. Just early. Yeah, okay. We're going to learn Parshat Shemini, some parts of Parshat Shemini, and discuss some of the more powerful, well-known events that happened in the Parsha, and ask a bunch of questions, and see if we can come to some answers. So we'll start not at the beginning, we'll start in the middle. Okay? Turn to Perek Tet, Pasuk Kaf Bet. Okay, this is the end of, what we'll call it, the end of the consecration of the Mishkan. There's a whole process that Aharon and his sons have to go through in order to consecrate the Mishkan. There's a process of Korbanot, which we will come back to. They're critical what the Korbanot really are. Can you see me? Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You want to help you move that chair? Because that chair looks very good for you. Okay, just move it over. Okay. There you go. Okay, wonderful. But we will come back to it, and we will see, I think, some of the significance of it. But we have to start at this point. So says the Torah, Pasuk Perek Tet, Pasuk Chavet, Vayisa Aharon et Yadav. This is at the end of the whole process. Aharon lifts up his hands. Perek Tet, then Shemini, Perek Parsa Shemini, Perek Tet, Pasuk Chavet. Vayisa Aharon et Yadav, El Ha'am, Vayivarchem. Aharon lifts up his hands to the nation and he blesses them. Vayered me'asot ha'chatat va'ola ma'ashlamim. And he comes down, he descends. He was up on that, I guess, the Mizbeach or whatever, and he descends from performing the sacrifice of the sin offering, and the Ola is a burnt offering, and the Shalamim is a peace offering. Right? Why did he bless the Jewish people? If you look at Rashi, we're going to spend a lot of time on Rashi today and the Midrash. Rashi, Rashi says, Birkat Kohanim, Yivarechecha, Ya'er, Yisa. Right? Beautiful. Very nice. At the end of the consecration, Aaron blesses the Jewish people, just like the kind of the way you envision it. You know what I'm saying? Like the consecration of the Mishkan, Aaron offers the korbanot. He raises up his hands. He blesses them. Oh, like just what it should be. Okay. Then Yochav Gimel. Vayavo Moshe ve'Aharon el Ohel Moed. Vayetzu vayivarchu et ha'am. Vayira kavod Hashem el kol ha'am. So now Moshe comes together with Aharon to the Ohel Moed, and then they came out and they blessed the nation, and the presence of God appeared before the nation. And Rashi, among others, among all the Mefarshim pretty much, and the Midrashim, right, raise an important question about this Pasuk. Can anybody figure out what it is?
Why Vayetsu? It came out from where?
Well, when, even before you come by, what happens before Vayetsu?
It came from where?
Well, even before Vayetsu, it says, Vayavo Moshe v'Aharon el Ohel Moed. Meaning, what happened? Something's missing, obviously, in the details. Where was Aaron before when he blessed the people? Where?
He was blessing them.
But where was he, though?
Korbanot.
Where must he offer the Korbanot? In the Mishkan.
With
another word for the Mishkan, what do we call it?
Omoed.
Now, one second, now what do we see?
He's coming.
Vayavo Moshe v'Aharon el Ohel Moed.
But it's Vayavo, singular.
Okay, Moshe.
But it says.
I didn't even notice that one. Okay, very good.
It says Moshe.
Moshe v'Aharon.
One mind.
Interesting. Very good. I didn't even notice that. I have no idea what to do with that. Okay. My question is more technical question. Where was Aaron? What? Where was Aaron a minute ago?
Mishkan.
He was in the Mishkan.
Yeah.
Now we're hearing.
He's coming
into the Mishkan.
So he must have gone.
He must have gone out.
What did he do when he was
there? Well, and now what's he doing?
Coming back.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that...
In the Olam mode, the entrance?
Well, the entrance... So
maybe he was coming from there to the entrance.
Coming out of the Mishkan to the Olam Moed?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think the Olam Moed is like the enclosure. Is the whole thing. I thought it was another word for the Mishkan.
Oh, I thought it was the entrance.
The entrance to the Mishkan?
Yeah.
But it's all the same thing. It's all like, Olam Moed is like the big thing. In the Olam Moed is the Mishkan. So you want to say he came out of the Olam Moed?
Out of the Mishkan.
Okay, I didn't understand it that way. I don't think that that's the implication. I don't see it that way.
Moshe wouldn't be allowed into the Mishkan,
right? Only the Kohen Gadol. No, the Kohen Gadol, Moshe was allowed in the Mishkan. He was not allowed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No one was allowed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay? We're going to get to that in a second. Okay? Then it says, Vayibarchu el Ha'am. They bless the nation again. And then, Vayira Kavod Hashem el Kol Ha'am. This pasuk, as we'll see, is a key. It's going to be a key to unlocking a lot of the mysteries of what's going on behind the scenes in this parak. It's a very important pasuk. Why, says Rashi, did they go in? Meaning, where they were out. Why did they come back in? Okay, so we're going to look at the first parish in Rashi, and then we're going to see the second one, which is the one that I want to key in on. Okay? Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron, says Rashi, very simple question. Lama nichnesu? I can understand, okay, they left. They left, it's over. It's time for dinner. But why are they coming back in? So it says, Rashi says, Matzati b'parshat miluim b'braita, anosefet al terat koranim. I found in this explanation that Lama nichnas Moshe im Aharon? Why did Moshe come back together with Aharon? Lilamdo al maaseh kitoret. He had something else to teach him. Okay, they came back, something else to teach him, etc., etc. Okay? Rashi obviously did not find this explanation sufficient. Moshe had to teach Aharon how to offer the kitoret. The kitoret is?
Incense.
The incense. Okay. Rashi did not find this good enough. Why? Because I'm going to skip a little bit. Look in a few lines. There's something called, if you see in Rashi, it says Davar Acher. See, Rashi just skipped a little, like a couple of lines, right to where it says Davar Acher. See it? Everybody got it? Says Rashi. This Rashi is going to, if you haven't seen it before, blow your mind. Davar Acher. Kivan Shira'a Aharon. Shikarvu Kol Habanot, Kol Korbanot. V'na'asu kol ha'ma'asin v'lo yardash shechina li'Yisrael hayam mitzta'er v'omer. What did Aaron see? Aaron said, I did everything you told me to do. We finished the whole program. I came out. I blessed the people. What happened?
The shechina didn't come down.
Nothing. They were expecting something. And we'll see in a second why they were expecting something. So he was upset. Why is Aaron upset? Can anybody guess before you see what Rashi says? Why is Aaron upset?
He couldn't deliver.
Why not?
He wasn't washing.
What?
He wasn't washing.
That's true. What was Aaron? Aaron has a huge, huge, and I think legitimate concern about his viability to be the Kohen Gadol. Correct. Remember, right? There's no better way to say. Who is the main character in the Egel HaZahav? No. Aharon. What did he do?
He failed.
What do you mean he failed?
He gave in?
It's more than he gave in. What did he do?
He told them to collect the gold and bring it to him.
Yeah, I'll keep going.
And then he threw it in the fire.
He threw it in the fire. You're now quoting me Midrash. and it came out on its own, correct? What does it say in the Torah that he did? Aviva, what did you say?
I said he fashioned it.
That's right.
He fashioned it into a...
That's absolutely correct. It says in the text, it says, Vayomer aleihem Aharon, perku nizmei zahav, take off your gold, etc., etc., right? And bring it to me. And they did it, because he probably didn't think that would happen, right? You know, he took their wives and their children's jewelry. Vayikach miyadam. Who's it talking about? Aharon. He took it from their hands. Vayatzar oto bacheret. He formed it in the molten pot. Vayaasehu egel masecha. And he made it into a molten item, into this egel hazahav. Okay? For whatever reason. And then he tried to delay, and he said, we'll do it tomorrow. He was convinced by the people. He tried to push them off. But you could imagine... What?
He did it.
He had a role. He had a prominent role in the construction of the Egel HaZahav, which resulted in... What's that?
The smashing
of the Luchot. The death of 6,000 Jews. Okay? The distancing of God from the Jewish people. Can you imagine walking around with that on your conscience? And Moshe comes down...
But he didn't really have a choice.
Correct. Let's assume that Aaron is not culpable.
Right.
Let's assume that Aaron, he was coerced and he's not responsible and pick all the things.
Right.
Right. Would you feel guilty?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. I've always thought he got a pass.
Did you?
Yes. I thought he had a huge pass and I thought he was really responsible and really culpable and have never understood why. It seemed as if nobody mentioned it after that. Everything was...
I think after today, maybe you won't think that.
Good.
It's a huge question. And now, Moshe comes to Aaron and says to Aaron, oh, by the way, you're Kohen Gadol. What does Aaron say? What? I can't do it. You obviously made a mistake. I'm the wrong person for the job. Like, I destroyed. Like, you counted on me. I failed. I'm not the person to represent the Jewish people, to be the representative between God and the Jewish people. Not me and not my sons. There's this tremendous obligation and responsibility and guilt and, to be honest, a level of sin. And not unjustifiable. It's all there. And so now what happens? Listen to the look at what Rashi says. Aaron is, and Moshe says, no, God said, because the Baruch Hu said, you're supposed to do it. You're the man. And okay, Aaron says, okay, fine, I'll do what you say. He does everything that Moshe says. And what happens?
Nothing. What they expect a miracle?
Yes. They were expecting a miracle. They were expecting... I'll tell you exactly what they were expecting.
They're expecting silence.
Exactly what they were expecting. You know why they were expecting it? Because Moshe told them. Just go back for a second to Pasuk Vav. Okay. Pasuk Vav in this parsha. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe said, Ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. This is what God said to do. V'yera aleichem kivod Hashem. And the presence of God will appear. They were expecting fireworks, but for a reason. Because Hashem said, and you will see, because God said, you will see fireworks. The presence of God will appear. V'yira alechem kevod Hashem. And they see nothing. Let's go back to Rashi in our piece. That says Rashi.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What about the memory of the Jewish people that Aaron had done this? And here we are in another situation in which Moshe is saying he's going to do that. I mean, what about the interaction there between the people? Do they believe that he could do it given his history? Because they knew his history. I mean, not all the 6,000 died, but that wasn't everybody who was there, I assume.
No. I mean, 6,000 is a small percentage, but still... Meaning, did they have faith in him?
Yeah, I mean, how could they? is what I'm saying. How could they look up to him, respect him, expect that what Moshe said would happen with Aaron leading the
church? Okay, I don't know. It's a good question. I think that if Aaron, the way I'm portraying it, doubts himself, wouldn't it be reasonable for the people to also wonder? That's, you know, that's who you picked?
But he's an example of tshuva.
Ah, very nice. Right. So you could say, on the one hand, that Aaron is the worst person to be the Kohen Gadol, or you could say he's the best person. Right. You know, you can imagine that. Right. Right. Very, that's absolutely true. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that. Now, remember, we know that he was the Kohen Gadol in the end. You know what I'm saying? We know things about Aaron also that make him beloved to us and that make him the great man that he was. But remember, this is before all that. Right? So, you know, he has this level of doubt, and so do they. You can just imagine, like, you know, people, when they had to bring a Korban Chatat, right, they had to say vidui on the Korban Chatat. They had to confess their sins. So they're confessing their sins in front of the Kohen. You know, who would be the best person to go and confess your sins in front of other than Aaron? You say to the Kohen Gadol, you say, Aaron, I did this terrible thing. You know, and, you know, what's he going to say?
Yeah,
you think that's bad? You know what I'm saying? That who would be better to be the person to represent the idea of atonement? And I think that's definitely true. But it's not true yet. And Aaron is wondering. Let's go back to Rashi. He was upset. And he said, are you back with me? I'm caught back in the middle. Yodea ani shekaas hakadosh baruch hu alai. He says, I know that God is angry at me. Ubishvili lo yarda shechina li Yisrael. And he says, Moshe, I know. The reason why the Shechina didn't come, it's my fault. What happened? Amar lo no Moshe. He says, Moshe achai. Moshe, my brother. Kach asita li shenichnasti v'nit bayashti. This is what you brought me in for? You brought me in, you gave me this job?
To embarrass me.
Miyad, because remember, who's standing around waiting? Everybody. Waiting to see what happens. Miyad, nichnas Moshe imo, ubikshu rachamim, v'yarda shechina liYisrael. Moshe came in and asked for rachamim, for compassion.
For who?
For Aaron, it sounds like. Right? And there was kapara on Yisrael. And the Shechina appeared. Let's see. Wait, what do you mean? What was it? Next pasuk, Kaf Dalet. I think it's the next pasuk. Vatetze Esh Midifnei Hashem. A fire emanated from before God. Vatochal al mizbech et haola vetachalavim. Meaning the altar was there, and all of a sudden, like you know, and you just have to imagine you know, the latest special effects in whatever movie you want, right? Comes down from the heavens, right, in real life. Vayar kol ha'am, everyone saw this. Vayaronu, and they gave praise. They were like awed. It was unbelievable. Vayiplu apneihem, and they fell on their faces. Right. So it was like that's what they were waiting for. They were waiting for something that was obviously divine, because I don't think it was just. It's not just Aaron that's waiting to find out about Cheta Egel. Remember, according to many mefarshim, why was the Mishkan commanded to be constructed in the first place? Right. What happened?
They were ended up being the
very good. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu came, went up to Har Sinai. They built the Egel. They built the golden calf. Moshe comes down, smashes the things, whatever, goes back up another 40 days. What day does he come back down? Yom Kippur, he says, you're forgiven. What does he tell them the next day, 2 days later? Build the Mishkan. Right? Meaning, we have to find a way to bring God into our midst. So they have this sort of, this energy and this passion because, like, their energy and passion of building the Mishkan is in a way sort of it's a national movement to repair the rift. Remember, God said, "I don't want to be with you anymore."
It's a tikkun.
Exactly what it is. I don't want to be with you anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Moshe, go out of the camp. I'll talk to you over there. I don't want to I can't take these people. And they said, "No, we have to have Hashem in our midst." And we'll build the Mishkan, and they're like the gold and the weaving, and they're giving the money, and everybody's into it. And it's like building and building, and there's this tension. Like, can we get Hashem back into our midst or not? And like, you know, and then there's the 7 days, and the Moshe builds the Mishkan every day, and he puts it down. This is the 8th day, Vayibi Yom HaShemini, it's it. He brings in Aaron, they consecrate the Mishkan, he says, Yivarechacha, and it's like, nothing. And Aaron turns to Moshe and he says, I told you. And so what happens? Moshe comes back. In a sense, according to Rashi, Aaron is right. Aaron is right. As much as Hashem told Aaron, meaning, so like, you have to, what's the obvious logical question? Anyone?
Shouldn't Moshe know?
Why make Kohen Gadol if you didn't want his korban? I don't know. Anybody want
to? Process for him to. Be forgiven.
It was, so what was part of the process?
You have to be embarrassed.
Oh. What?
Ah. Took him right to the lowest point. Because you can't get much lower than that. To be embarrassed in front of the whole nation.
Wow. Wow, that's very powerful. That, in a sense, Kadosh Baruch Hu set him up. How do I know this? I'll take you back. 1 second. Take you back. Now let's go back to the beginning of the parsha. The Chet HaEgel is just, you have to understand, is lying under the surface of the entire of this entire parsha. And we saw it already in Rashi. We're going to see it in the Midrashim a number of times. Without the Chet HaEgel, this whole thing doesn't make any sense at all. But with the Chet HaEgel, it's incredibly powerful. That they have guilt and sin and kapara and atonement. Remember, this is the 8th day, so now they've been building the Mishkan for how long? Anybody know? They started right after Yom Kippur. They started Sukkot time. When did they finish? Anyone? They finished the beginning of Nisan. Right? The beginning of Nisan. Moshe consecrated, they finished the Mishkan beginning of Nisan. I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure I'm right. What? Art scroll says I'm right.
First day of
Nisan, okay. And so it's 7 days Moshe is putting up the Mishkan and taking it down by himself. Okay, and the last, let's even go back a little bit farther. Okay. Aaron, Moshe, I'll just read, because in the end of the last parsha, it says, Moshe takes Aaron. Right? I'm reading from Perek Chet. I don't want to go back too far. Kach et Aharon ve'et banav. Take Aaron and his sons ito. Ve'et habegadim. Ve'et shemen hamishcha. Ve'et parachatat. Ve'et shnei ha'ilim. Ve'et sal hamato. Right? Take them all and all this stuff. Ve'et kol ha'ida hakel el petach ohel moed. And gather them all to the opening of the ohel moed. And Moshe does this. He gathers the whole community. Blah, blah, blah. Vayakrev Moshe et Aharon v'et banav vayirchat otam b'mayim. What does it mean, vayakrev? Tell me when else we use the word vayakrev. What's that? Well, halavai, right? A korban, right? It says we use that very same word, vayakrev et ha'ola, all the time.
Never really thought of that kirov and korban.
They are connected. They're both supposed to bring you closer to Hashem.
Well, korban is such an interesting thing. Like, you know, to become close to Hashem, the yod karov, what do you have to do?
Sacrifice.
You have to sacrifice for him. Isn't that true, though, in kirov too? Message doesn't resonate very well. You don't really play that message.
It's true in marriage and relationships.
It's true in everything.
In
what?
You're saying it's a sacrifice to
give. It's a sacrifice to be mikurav, don't you think?
Sure, lavish to go everywhere.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't mean that. I don't mean the guys who do kirov. I mean the people who. Yeah, I mean that. Who give up their whole lives, their families, their, you know, it's a sacrifice. You know, I mean, like, I'll you ask me how Pesach was. For us, Pesach was lonely. I don't know about you. I mean, it was lonely. I found it very lonely. Like, when I was a rabbi all these years, somebody would come. But we knew, because I was a rabbi in Detroit, I couldn't go home. I couldn't leave. That was just the way it was. But I'm not a rabbi anymore. And still, we don't have a seder with family. You know, so those of your family here, you're fortunate. No, but it's the Ola experience for a lot of us. So why do we do it? We do it so that our children, God willing, when they make Seder, will have big Seder. Mm-hmm. What?
They'll have us.
They'll have us. Yeah. Right. That's
Korban. They better not go back.
That's it. Not they better not go back. We better have a big Seder. Come on, we were going to have it by ourselves this year. No. Okay. Yeah, so, okay. And you have to just read, if you read through the end of Parshat Tzav, I mean, it's really, you know, they bring Aaron, like they bring him in, and Moshe does all these crazy things. He offers a sacrifice, and he says, takes the blood, and he puts it on his ear, and on his thumb, and on his big toe. He actually does to Aaron exactly what you do to the mitzvah, to the person with tzarat, which is surprising and deep. And at the end of this, he says to them the following. This is the end of Tzav. Umipeta ohel moed lo teitz ushivat yamim. Okay, Aaron, for these 7 days, you have to stay in the ohel moed.
Solitary confinement.
Ad yom ulaot yimei miluechem. Why? Ki shivat yamim imleechem. You have to be there for 7 days. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Kasher asa bayom hazet tziva Hashem lasot lechaper aleichem. God did this to atone for you. Amen lamed hey, the end of Parshat Tzav. Petach o moed teishvu yomam v'layla shivat yamim u'shmartem et mishmeret Hashem v'lo tamutu ki chen tzu beiti. Oh, by the way, if you leave, what will happen to you? You will die. V'yaz Aaron u'vanav et kol edvarim asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshe. Okay? So they're like, Aaron is he's not the actor in this whole process to this point. Who's doing all the things? Who's doing the entire process to Aaron? Moshe is doing it to Aaron and his sons. What's going to happen to him? Anybody know? Do you know? You know because you read the rest of the book.
Yeah.
Right. Does he know?
No.
Right.
Not.
Correct. He's not really sure. And he's got this, what's the term? Sword of Damocles?
Yeah.
Hanging over his head, called the golden calf. On his mind, as he contemplates, why am I sitting alone in the Ohel Moed for 7 days? Now we start Parshat Shemini. Vayihi Bayom HaShemini, after the 7 days. Now it comes to the eighth day. Okay. Now, by the way, what does that conjure in your mind? The eighth day, Yom HaShemini, right?
Brit Milah.
Okay. By the way, what do we do at a Brit Milah? We sacrifice. We sacrifice. I wanted to point this out. There were so many Britot. I didn't hear this Dvar Torah. There were so many. Thank God, so many Britot around Pesach time. A bunch of them, right? What pasuk? There's a pasuk that appears in the section of Brit that also appears in the Haggadah.
Yes.
Right. It said, we say, V'amar lach al damai chayi, V'amar lach al damai chayi. It says, V'arech mitboseset, I saw you mitboseset b'damayich. Sort of, what? What's the word? I don't know, the English word is mitboseset, like languishing in your blood. Okay, the eighth day is the day of spiritual redemption through blood sacrifice. How would you ready for the eighth day? Okay. Karam Asher li Aaron ulavanav ulizignei Yisrael. Vayomer el Aharon. Moshe says to Aaron, Kach lecha egel ben bakar lechatat. Take a what?
Egel.
Anybody wonder why he has to take an egel as a sin offering? Is this your normal sin offering? You know, just that your run-of-the-mill sin offering? No, it's not.
And it's called Ben Bakar, at the strut of the Avot. That's not egel Ben Bakar.
Really? What are you saying?
I don't know. Normally when they use
Ben Bakar?
Yeah. No, when you egel, isn't it generally egel is always from a cow?
Yeah. So why do you say Ben Bakar? I don't know. So what do you think?
You know,
when
they say the son of
God calling
him
Hegel. Oh, giving schut to the mother. All right, okay. I don't know. La'ayil le'olah to mimim, and la'ayil a ram as an olah offering. Who also offered a ram as an olah?
Abraham
Yitzchak. Okay, Abraham Yitzchak, right? Oh, I never thought of that. Holy mackerel.
What?
Ayil le'olah to mimim, right? What was the ayil in place of?
Yitzchak.
In place of Abraham's son. Scary. V'hakrev lifnei Hashem. Rashi on Egel says, anybody want to take a wild guess what Rashi's going to say? What? You looked already.
No.
What do you think?
No, just that it's instead of Aaron.
That's, well,
Egel is
take right. take Rashi on Pasuk Bet, Kach Lecha Egel, Lehodia, Shemechaper Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yidei Egel, Ze, Al Ma'aseh HaEgel She'asa. Through this Egel will come the atonement on the Egel that he had done. But look at what Rashi says. Rashi didn't say, Al Ha'egel She'na'asa Al Yidei, son, whatever, whatever. No, Rashi doesn't pull punches here. It's very clear. Right? You know, can you imagine Aaron is sitting, like poor Aaron, he's sitting contemplating this thing for 7 days, solitary confinement with his sons. What's going to happen? And the first thing Moshe says to him is, okay, we have to do a Korban Chatat, and the Korban Chatat is an Egel. Says the Midrash.
But this wasn't good enough.
What?
This right. wasn't good enough. Because later on we see that...
Was not accepted. Right. Says the Midrash.
Is a Korban Chatat after that always an Egel, or does it change? When?
I don't remember. No, I think a Chatat is always something else. Mm-hmm. It's in the beginning of Vayikra. If you want to bring Korban Chatat... I have to... I'm not up on my korbanot, you know. I'm not, which is really sad, you know. But I'm not really up on my korbanot. It's the beginning of my yikra. Nefesh ki chata, blah blah blah. 1 second. No. Shlamim. It's the beginning of Bamidbar. I don't remember. Ola, blah 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 blah. Here, they call me Swad Shalote Asena. Par. 1 second. Seir Izim. What? Yeah. Not an ego. Okay, so it's out of the ordinary. Okay. Right, says the Midrash. What does it mean? Melamed. What does it say? Kach licha egel. Sha'amar lo Moshe le'Aaron. Moshe says to Aaron, Aaron achi, Aaron my brother. Apapishin itratza makom lechaper al abonotecha. Even though God wants, he was appeased for your sin. Tzarich atah litein davar letoch piv shel satan. You owe the satan something. V'lachen shlach doron lefanecha ad shelo tikanes lemidrash, lemikdash. The mamas, he says, the eagle is still here. It's hanging over our heads. So in order, even though Hashem really forgave you, you got to do this chatat of the eagle. You know, It's still there. It's still very powerful. What happens? It's so interesting. Let's read on a little bit. Okay, and he tells him to do the. And by the way, you think the eagle is lost in everybody standing there? Because they're all there. Okay. Let's turn to Pasuk Zion. Vayomer Moshe el Aharon, Krav el Hamizbeach, Vaasei et Chatatcha veet Olatecha. V'chaper ba'adcha u'ba'ad ha'am. V'aseh et korban ha'am v'chaper ba'adam kasher tziva Hashem. Moshe says to Aaron, draw near to the altar and make your sin offering and your ola offering, and you will atone for yourself and the nation, and do the korban of the nation and do it for them as Hashem commanded. What do I find interesting about this pasuk? Anybody find anything interesting about Moshe's commandments?
He says first he provides atonement for you and the people, and then he does it again for the people.
Okay. Chaper ba'adcha ba'adam. Interesting. Which gives you the sense that the first korban is a joint sin, and then there's a communal atonement.
Right.
Okay. I find the words krav el hamizbeach incredibly unusual.
Okay.
Right? What should Moshe say? Moshe should say, but you're Moshe, what?
Goat's milk.
Why would you say that? Right. What should he say? Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Ase et chatatcha v'et olatecha mechaper ba'adcha va'ad ha'am.
He knows his way to God.
Yeah, right.
It's like he's almost afraid to.
Great. Not almost. Look at Rashi. Yeah. Wonderful. Krav al ha-mizbeach. That's exactly what Rashi says. Shahaya Aharon bush v'yare lageshet. Aaron was embarrassed and afraid to approach. You have to look at in this whole, now that we've described this whole context, right? Aaron says to Moshe, to Aaron, come offer the egel. And Aaron says, no way. So Moshe has to say, krav el hamizbeach, come here. And do this. And then it says, vayikrav Aharon el hamizbeach. And Aaron, it was like hard for him to even come close to the mizbeach. Couldn't do it. And then he sacrificed et egel hachatat asher lo. Can you imagine the drama of Aharon coming close to the altar and slaughtering this egel? Right, this is his sin, his kapara. And then the next words, vayakrivu bnei Aharon et hadam elav. Again, this like, and he wants nothing to do with it. They bring him the dumb. He couldn't collect it himself. It's like just so interesting, this idea of coming close, and that offering of coming close. Now, in this context, I think we could understand why Aaron is so upset when nothing happens. It makes perfect sense.
He's done everything he can and still.
What? It was torture. And it's in front of the whole nation. And it's about the Egel HaZahav. And they said to you, I'm not the person. No, you're the person. And I said to you, I'm not worthy. No, you're worthy. And I told you I'm embarrassed. And you forced me step by step to come close and to slaughter the animal and to offer the blood. And I blessed the people. And you told me Hashem would come. And he did it.
It's a bit reminiscent of Moshe himself.
What?
It's a bit reminiscent of Moshe himself turning down,
right?
The leadership and stuff.
Yeah, except Moshe, Aaron has a really good reason.
Right.
Aaron has a really, really good reason. Now we turn to the next parasha, Perek Yud, which is immediately the next thing that happened. What?
That's just amazing. It's very humbling. It's very, you know what I mean? Just
you almost want to cry for Aaron.
You want to cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did something wrong, but he's struggling. Like it's really a painful,
I think
so embarrassing
for him to go through this whole thing in front of everybody. It
correct.
Correct.
But I think that we have to. I think that's why it's so important. Like you read these parshiot, and they're so dry. You know what I'm saying? Vayom HaShmini, and you offer this offering, and you offer that offering, and then da da da. You know what I'm saying? And then they took off the skin, and then they burnt the this, and da da da. Okay, when are we going to get to Bamidbar and the stories again? You know? But it's not true, because korbanot are so much about the place of the person and the tshuva that's supposed to accompany them and the representation that they're supposed to have. And devoid of that, they're almost meaningless. Like, you know, we have nevuah, we have many nevi'im that say, you know, you like later on, the Beit HaMikdash, like, you know, they say to the Bnei Israel, like, what do you think? This is just like some magic hocus pocus that you know, you could just like, you know, offer the animals and everything is good. You know, he says, Hashem zivchei dad, you know, elim, like, well, I want you to be better people. Like, so interesting, I heard on the second day of the Chag, on the last day of the Chag, I heard a talk from the Rav of Otniel, and he said about Sfira. He said the same thing. It's so true. It's like, we're so into like the technical details of Sfira. Can I shave on this day? Can I go to a wedding on that day? And how many days do I hold? 31 days, 33 days, Lag BaOmer, Yom HaTzmaut, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Do I listen to music? Don't I listen to music? He's like, that's true, but like, then ask yourself the question, what is the whole Avelut about? Like, what's the whole thing about? So we get so caught up in the details of the nuance of the ritual that you forget that there's depth behind it. Mm-hmm. That there's a reason. That what are we, you know, it's about so much deeper. Same thing with these korbanot. Like, you know, when you read it and you see like what's really lurking under the surface of the korbanot and the drama and the pain of Aaron. You know what, and the embarrassment and the shame that, according to Rashi, he deserved, had to come. Right? You cannot achieve atonement just like that. It doesn't, like, you can't say, "Oh God, sorry." And I'll say, yeah, all right, whatever.
That's interesting, because we're taught we're not supposed to embarrass anyone publicly.
You're not. It's not your problem. But that's sometimes not true, actually. What about yourself? If you shame somebody in public, what do you have to do?
Apologize.
Yeah, which is?
Embarrassing.
Incredibly embarrassing. It's like the worst thing. Ever tried to do it. You know? Just to admit in public, to really admit it. In a heartfelt way. It's hard, not simple. Next part, Perek. Now I think, in a way, we can sort of understand the next Perek, Perek Yud. This is the very next story. Vayikhu b'nei Aaron, Nadav Avihu, Ish Machtato. The sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, took their fire pan, Vayitnu b'hen Ish, and they put on them a fire. Vayasimu aleha ketoret, and they put on it ketoret. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem esh zara asher lo tziva otam. And they offered upon it a strange fire for which they were not commanded. Vatetze esh mi lifnei Hashem, vatochal otam, vayamutu lifnei Hashem. And a fire came out from before God. Many Mefarshim say it's the same fire that was there already, and it consumed them, not in a physical way, says the Midrash, in a spiritual way, and it killed them. They died. You know who wants to know? You and every Parshan who ever lived.
Is that part of the...
Hold on, we'll get there. Hold on. I don't want to get... I got a punchline for you, but we'll get there. Moshe says, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron. Moshe says to Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem lemor. This is what God said, Bikrovai ekadesh v'al pnei kol ha'am ekabed. In your midst I will be sanctified, and in the face of all the nation, and before the whole nation, I will be honored. Vayidom Aaron. And Aaron was silent. End of story. What?
Well, his sons die.
Wait, I set you up. But now let's. What in the world did Nadav and Avihu do that merited their own deaths? So I have in my midrashim, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different explanations. I'll rattle them off for you, just in case you're interested.
Didn't you also just say that Moshe just taught Aaron about the Torah?
Yes.
Any connection there?
Yeah, sure. According to that Perush, he told them what to do, and what did they do?
Oh, they were also there.
Yeah, they were there. He told them all what to do, and what did they do?
They didn't.
Right, they did. No, they didn't listen. They did the wrong thing. Okay. First explanation, okay, is their sin was they decided to take matters into their own hands. They decided, let's make some ketoret. Okay? And which they were not commanded to do, so they were killed. But that really just begs the question, why were they killed? Like, what was so bad about that? Second explanation, okay? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, says Rabbi Eliezer, Lo nitchayvu, why were they obligated? Why were they punished? Shehoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. Have you ever heard that one before?
Yeah.
They taught halacha before Moshe.
Oh, no.
Meaning they decided they knew how to offer the ketoret, and they didn't, and that's like a big no-no. A huge no-no in Torah Shabbat. Why? Because we work in a hierarchical system. The Rav teaches the student, not the other way around. Because as soon as the student starts teaching the master, what do you have?
Chaos.
You have no Masorah anymore. The entire Torah is built upon the idea of transmission. And if the student says to the master, student says to the teacher, I don't accept, I'm going to do it my way, that's the end of tradition. That's B. Number three. And there's actually a story, the Midrash says there's a story of like a student of Rabbi Eliezer. He looked at him and he said, one day, he said, oh, that guy's going to die soon. And the guy keeled over, like, you know, a couple days later, the guy died. And they said, oh, you're like a Navi. Wow, it's amazing. He said, I'm not a Navi. That was a student who used to go and teach Horel Lifnei Rabbo. He used to talk in front of his Rav. He said, just following what the Torah says. I'm just telling you what it says. Okay, number three. Okay. Misinai natu lehem. They sinned at Har Sinai. Why? Kolomar. What do they do? This is what it says. Shaharau et Moshe ve'et Aharon shahayu mahalchim tchila. They saw Moshe and Aharon walking first. Hein bayin acharein, chol Yisrael acharein. And after them, Nadab and Abihu came. So Moshe and Aharon are leading, and they're second. And they said, Amar lo Nadab l'Abihu, Eimatai ot shnei zekanim halalu meitim, ve'anu nidhog et hakahal. When are these old men going to die so we could be in charge? Says God. We'll see. Okay? Just, I mean, that's like a out of the blue, like, fat. When you see a midrash like that, is there any indication of that midrash in the Torah? No. So what does that midrash, what does that tell you when you see a midrash like that?
Couldn't think of anything.
Right. Correct. I mean, correct. They're absolutely correct. Like, we see nothing here to explain to me why they died. Yes, they offered an Esh Zara. Is that punishable by death?
Not next. Really, but it shows that characteristic of haughtiness.
Yes.
Thinking that, you know,
punishable by death?
Maybe because it came right after the ego.
Correct. Okay.
Well,
next one.
Strange thing always I have thought along the way is why should... If such a relatively small thing is punishable by death, but not the golden calf?
Next. Davar acher. Why they die? Ain lanu yodim mimam metu. This is from another midrash. The next commandment, God comes to Aaron and says, by the way, when you're in the Mikdash, yayin v'shechar al tesht. No drinking on the job.
There's this
podcast I listened to called This American Life, and they did this whole long report about why were American cars so bad for so long. And one of the things I said was that the union was so powerful that people would drink on the job all the time. And they could never do anything about it. It was just, that's not allowed. And clearly the implication was Nadav and Abihu were drunk. So they offered this Esh Zara because they were drunk. And by the way, a Kohen that does Mishnah Beit when he's drunk is Chayav Mita. Which is interesting. I always thought there was a lot of justification to that. Okay? Next. Why did they do it? When they saw the Shekhinah come down, they said, that was a really cool trick. So they said, Amru, Anu Nasekein B'Teirat Esh Al Yadenu. I want to do that too. And I think that's a very interesting insight. Like, it's such an interesting insight. And I think there's a lot of truth about it in your nature. It's not enough that people do great things. I want to be the one to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of, like,
that's drunken speech.
Is it? No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't. This is another interpretation.
Okay.
Like, we often say that, like, yeah, wow, it would be great if I gave that speech or I give that thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be the one. It's great that, you know, this person did this amazing chesed, but why couldn't I be the one to do it? And then there's part of that in all of us, in a sense, that we want to be the ones that everybody looks to and gets the accolades for, you know. And if we, in reality, we really should be happy that it happens and that we have the chance to participate. But there's a part of us that wants, you know, the fame, the glory, whatever. What?
We're allowed to be jealous of mitzvah doing chesed.
Lo meitu, this is an interesting one. Lo meitu b'nei Aaron ele l'kadesh shemo shel makom. To sanctify God's name. That's how they died. Why? Shelo niton pitchon peh l'chol ba'ei ha'olam. That people shouldn't be able to say things. Shelo yomru shelo shata shechina b'oh ha'moed ela ba'arafel. Sharei Nadav v'Abihu nichnusu lifnai v'lifnim v'lo husku. Nadav and Abihu somehow, in order to get their fire, they had to go into the Kodesh HaKadashim. So even though Hashem didn't want to take Nadav and Abihu and kill them, nonetheless, he had to make an example of them. Why? Because if he didn't make an example of them, people would say, what? They can. Yeah, well, then anybody can go in. One last one. I think I skipped one.
Did they specifically,
that
where they got it?
What?
Do we know?
It says that the Midrash says, another, many Midrashim say that they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without permission, which is also.
Hit it right
seriously. Last one. Vayikru b'nei Aaron. What does it mean, vayikru? Af hem b'simchatam. They did it in their joy. Kevan shira'u esh chadasha. When they saw this new fire, hosivu ahava al ahava. Why did they do it? Because they wanted in their slavus, that's the word we use, in their passion, their religious fervor, they said, hey, we could do even more. Which is also a very dangerous thing. Right, so, you know, another lesson, like, you know, that because you have religious fervor doesn't justify anything that you want to do in the name of religious fervor. A very interesting lesson. There's only one problem. I now just gave you 7 completely different reasons for the death of Nadav and Avihu. Right. What? We have no idea. When you like the reason I gave that whole laundry list is when you see a laundry list like that, what you end up with is you're, you know, totally murky. No, we have any idea.
But clearly, they overstepped their bounds.
My question is, if Nadav and Avihu had done this on any other day, would it have been a punishable offense by death? This is, I think,
it's where you started with the question.
This is the 8th day. This is the culmination. This is the Chet HaEgel. Aaron understands, I think, that on this day his life is literally in the balance. Will God accept his atonement or not? It's so interesting. Anybody have noticed at the end of Shmona Esrei, and when we say Vidui on Yom Kippur, we say, Marek et chatai v'rachamecha rabim, please cleanse my soul, my sins. We add these very interesting words of aloha yedei yisurim. I would very much like you to forgive me, and oh, by the way, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. You know what I'm saying? We all want kapara, but we don't want suffering. And Aaron is at that moment, I sense, where literally, his life hangs in the balance, in a sense. Will he be atoned for Chet HaEgel or not? And all of a sudden, the fire comes down, the glory of God, and now his sons come and do something which, I don't know how bad it was. It's impossible to know. But they detract from the whole power of the moment. They take away from the atonement of Aaron, and they say, oh, they made a fire, let me make a fire. And then it's not enough.
It makes you think that one of the things that you said, that they were waiting for them to die.
It makes me think, in my heart of hearts, believe that part of the reason Nadav and Avihu died is because of the Chet HaEgel.
It's because of the what?
The Chet HaEgel. The juxtaposition of these sections.
The timing.
Yeah, and the timing. And that if that's true, would you say that Aaron got off?
No, I wouldn't, but I want to go a step further, which was...
They were the sacrifice. Correct.
Yes, the atonement was accepted, but then, by killing his sons, he in a sense killed him.
Yeah, sure.
Because then his line wouldn't go on.
Look at what Moshe says. No, his line went on. He had 2 other sons. He had two other sons. Look at what Moshe says.
Vayomer
Moshe el Aaron. Now to read in this context. Hu asher diber Hashem lemor. This is what God said. Bikrovai ekadesh. In my midst I will be sanctified. V'al pnei kol ha'am ekabed. And I will be honored in front of the entire nation. Vayidom Aaron. It was the Yom Hashmini. And some blood was spilled. The Korban was not enough. And I think why Vayidom Aaron? Vayidom, he means he was silent. And Chazal say that he was rewarded, that he didn't cry out. He was not allowed to mourn. But I always had the sense that he sort of, he expected it.
He knew he deserved it.
He knew it was coming. He hoped that it wouldn't. He didn't know what it was. Yes. And it's so interesting. There's a midrash here that talks about Aaron, right? It says that Aaron, the people loved Aaron. What was he? He was Ohev Shalom for Rodev Shalom. Like, he spent the rest of his life chasing after people. But in a way, he says, Aaron lo amar le'ish velo le'isha sarachta. He never said negative things to people. He always tried to uplift them. Like Moshe's job was to tell them, you're bad, you're wrong, you're whatever. That was the job of the teacher. Aaron was the Kohen. He never focused on their negative. He always tried to uplift. One gets the sense that he spent the rest of his life, he was the perfect Kohen Gadol. Because he spent the rest of his life atoning for the Chet HaEgel. Living with the price that he paid. And that his son paid on his behalf. On any other day, I don't know what would have happened. But on that day, in that context, what they did was a tragedy.
What do you think, it was an excuse or a reason?
I think it was a consequence. I think it was a reality.
I mean, they did it. And was that, and it did detract.
Hey, it really is, like, it's painful. Yeah.
From the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like building a golden calf on the day of giving the Torah. You took my most precious day. One gets a sense, almost midah keneged midah. And then Aaron could be Kohen Gadol. This is very powerful stuff. All right, well, sorry for such a downer. You know, but, we'll stop here.